Balabatim, the Lacha of Dishalakim, is in like it's Tzuchas of Mashiach. But it's really, it's extremely important, I mean, because you're all going to you know, not just all, but many of you can go up and come to the Kodesh, to the Rabbanim and so on. You really have to educate Balabatim about the Lacha of Dishalakim. I know, I live in Englewood. So, it's just, you know, people don't know about Tefillas Kelim. They don't know about Bishul. I mean, even people who meet to be, you know, to observe all the mitzvahs, these are things they simply don't know about. So at least they should know that, you know, you can't just have a maid in your house doing all your cooking and think that you're keeping a kosher home, because you're not then. At least according to some Shani, you're not. Let me just look what this is. This is the whole Shulchan Aruch, right?
The whole Shulchan Aruch is in the back. The last few pages.
Okay. Now, the Mishnah says in Avodah Zarah that on Daf Lamed Hey, the Mishnah reads, "Ve'elu dvarim shel ovdei kochavim asurim ve'ein isurim isa hanor." Right, there's certain things that are they ask mishum ovdei kochavim and they ask b'hanor, stam yena, for example. And there's certain things that are also and are not also b'hanor. They're also b'achila but not b'hanor. And the Mishnah mentions that amongst them are upas and also shlokos. So these are two categories that the Chazal asked. One is pasakum, and one is bishalakum. So we're going to start first by talking about bishalakum. And Rashi there in the Mishnah says the hashlokos. Kol dover shibishula ovei kochavim v'afilu b'klik toho v'kulo mishum chasnas. In other words, Rashi says all the things mentioned in the Mishnah, and including amongst them is Bishul Akam, the reason they asked it is because of what? Because of chasnas. Now the Gemara goes on to explain shlokos. Shlokos means things that are cooked. And the Gemara first probes, where's the source for this halacha? That bishalakum is also. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk, oichel b'keset hashbireni v'achalti, u'mayim b'keset titen li v'shasisi, k'mayim, ma'mayim shlo nishtano, af oichel shlo nishtano. So the Mar says, if that's so, what about Chita Vason, Kloyos, and so on, should be also. So the Mar comes out later on, El Medrabonim, that's what you have on the first page, El Medrabonim, V'kvo Asmach Tabiyam. So if you look on the on Rashi there, El Medrabonim, Rashi says, Shloi He Yisrael Vogel Etzlo B'maychel U'B'mishter, V'yichilenu Dovetamim. So here Rashi now, by when we get to Shlokos, introduces another reason, aside from the reason he gave the Mishnah. What in the Mishnah he said the reason was kula mishum chasnus, and here Rashi says the reason is because of what? Because of shem yachilenu davatamim. So Tosis already notices this. You see the top toys element drabonon v'kvos machta biyama. Toys says pivish Rashi drabonon gozu mishum dechayes shemi achilenu dvarim tmeim. V'yoyse hayaniru lefarish atam mishum chasnus. V'chein pivish Rashi peisha kutus b'mas nisa. Right. So Toys says here Rashi says the reason is shemi achilenu dvarim tmeim. And Rashi in the Mishnah gave a different reason, which Toys thinks is the better reason, namely mishum chasnus. Yeah. Aval kishu mevashel bebeiso shel Yisrael. I'm sorry. All right. Omer harav bevom b'Rav David. The vaday shlokos asu chachamim kisha ovi kachavim mevashel bebeiso. Aval kishu mevashel bebeiso shel Yisrael. Ein lochos lo lechasnus v'lo shemi yachilen v'vom tmeim. Lo hoda lo v'benotam. In other words, this Ravid, the Baal HaTosfos, says that if you cook Bebeis Yisrael, so there's what to be making about, because he says, if it's Bebeis Yisrael, we're not worried about two things. We're not worried about what? About chasnus, he claims, right? And we're not worried about Shem Yechilenu Dov HaTamim. Why? Because if it's Bebeis Yisrael, it's a Jewish environment, so he claims that he's not going to marry, you know, the woman who's doing the cooking in the house. Why he knows that for so sure, I'm not so sure. When I was growing up, I'm older than you, that there's a big scandal at the time, in quotes, wasn't such a big scandal, but which Rockefeller was it? Winthrop Rockefeller, I think. Later became governor of Arkansas. But he married the maid in the house, Bobo Rockefeller. None of you remember, huh? It was about early 60s. So that's against this Ravid. So, but anyhow, so the Ravid says that both Shoshes would not apply if it's Bebeis Yisrael. And Rabbi Natam disagrees. Lo hodol Rabbi Natam. Devada kevich ovi kochavim mevashel lo chilkul klal chachamim ben yishus ha-Yisrael yishus ha-ovi kochavim. So, I mean, he does mention the issue of chasnus, but he says, in both cases, whether it's Bebeis Yisrael or not, the chashoshes are possible. Maybe the guy is cooking, he'll bring in his own sandwich, he'll bring in his own food, right? All right. I mean, it's interesting. And as Rabbeinu Tam is also, you know, Tosis initially rejects Rashi and says there aren't two reasons at all. Then the Ravid is obviously working conceptually with Rashi's thing, because he says that for basis of all, both reasons don't apply. Both reasons don't, the Ravid says both reasons don't apply. Shemiyach Lenin Dov Tame and the Chash Chasnus, right? So, according to Tosis, visually, the Shemiyach Lenin Dov Tame is not really part of the picture. But Tosis comes back to it, and even Rabbeinu Tam apparently is working with both concepts, because he says, even the basis, well, excuse me, that there's still a chash that maybe he'll feed him something which is awesome. All right, but the question, you know, the more fundamental question is why does and if you look in the Ram Perish Mishnah, you see that he also mentions both reasons. So why do you need two reasons? That's really what Tosis asks. So the answer, I believe, is this: we have to be mechalik. When Chazal made a gzeira, we have to be mechalak between that which motivated them to make the gzeira, the sibas ha'isur, and the way they formulated it, under what rubric it falls, and how it's defined, the chalois ha'isur. And this is already mentioned, we've shown him in other contexts. For example, the Rashban of Avodah Zorah asks a parallel question, not by Bishul Akum, but he speaks about by Stam Yenam. He asks, this is the Rashbos of Odozor and Daf Chav Tesam Beis. He asks that the Gemara says that the reason that you ask it Stam Yenam is Mishum Beno Sehem, Lo Yovel De Chiton, right? And because the Gemara has two reasons for it. One is Mishum B'no Seyem, and the Gemara also says because of Yain Nesa. So the question is, why do you need both reasons? one would have been sufficient to ask the Stam Yain. So the Rashba answers like this. The reason they asked it was Mishum B'Nos saying because of Hita. But the way they formulated the Issa, they made it an Issa of Yain Nesach. In other words, it falls under the rubric of Yain Nesach. The Mai Nafkamina. First of all, there's a Nafkamina that if it's Yain Nesach, Mr. Rashba says, it's not only Asa B'Shtiya, it's also Asa B'Hana. Bishul Akim, the other things which are Mishum Chitun, are only also Bachila, but not also Bahana. That's how the mission begins, right? El Dram Shal Dichal Asum Ve'enisum Isa Hana. Yai Nesach Sam Yenim is also Bahana, even though it's Mishum Chitun, because what? Because it's, it falls under Yai Nesach, it becomes a Cheft of Yai Nesach, and even the reasons we're not saying, but it's a Cheft of Yai Nesach, right? And that's why it's also Bahana. You know, the Rabbi Shain will hold, there's a Rivosh. I just mentioned parenthetically that on Stam Yenim there's Yehovah Vayava. Even though it's only Drabbanan, I don't think we don't pass it that way, but I'm just saying, the Rivosh thought it's like Abu Zrayu Davodah Zorah. Because, first of all, apparently he thought that Yain, that on this Machlech Shishanim with an Isa Nova Vodah Zorah, is the Halach of Yehovah Vayava. I have about this my safe, whether Isa Nova Vodah Zorah is. See that it's not just an Isa Achila like Bosa B'Cholov or Kloya Keren. It has a Shaychus Tavod Azor. It has the Torah Asad Vahanoa, but Yidbuk Vyot Pabum and Achayim, so you should have no relationship to Tavod Azor. Otherwise, it wouldn't be Yehovah Yehovah. For Havaya, the Ran in the Chdush Ran of Vodazora, he holds that a Goy is Muzo on Isa Hanova Vodazora. That's one of the Shiva Mitzvahs. So you see it's an Isa Vodazor. It's not just an Isa. Goyman Archaiv and Machos Asuras. It must be an Isa Vodazor. Right, so anyhow, coming back, and Rabbi Chonon says that also. Rabbi Chonon in the Rishon, Ana Vodazor, was published as a separate Sefer, Ana Vodazor. He has this dichotomy, and he says that there's a difference between the Chaloisa Isa. The Chaloisa Issa is an Issa Yain Nesach. But the Sibasa Issa was Stam Yaina. Excuse me, we shouldn't be now saying. So similarly here by Bishul Akim, it could be, the Rashi mentions two things. In the Mishnah, when he just mentions that it's Asa, the reason they asked it was because of Chasnas. But by Bishul Akim, at least by Bishul Akim, the Chaloisa Issa was that it wasn't just an Issa Gavra Mishum Chasnas, that you shouldn't eat that which a goy cooks for you, but that it's also a cheftza of machalos asuras. Right, it could be based on this that there's, we're going to talk about it later, but that there's a difference between bishul akum and pasak. Bishul akum is a cheftza of machalos asuras. But Pas Akum is not a Cheftz of Macholos Asuras. Pas Akum is only Oshum Mishum Chasnas, but it's not a Cheftz of Macholos Asuras. Why do we distinguish between Bishul and Pas? How do you know to distinguish? Well, first of all, we know that we find many kulas by Pas. We're going to do it later when we go through it in Shulchan Aruch. But there are many kulas that we find by Pas that we don't find by Bishul. Lamashul, does anybody know a kula by Pas that we don't have by Bishul? What?
Wholesale.
Wholesale? Yeah. You know, if it's correct, in Pas Palter. Pas Palter, Lechoyver, is only mutter by Pas and not by Bishul. Correct. And what other cooler that we have by Pas, according to our modes, they're both as women, but Svardim have a distinction. Pas and Bishul. Who knows? What?
Israel.
Israel
does.
Right. The halach is that if the Jew does, if you know, for example, if the Jew stokes the coals, right, mechatev kolim, or he lights the fire, right, then you put it on. So that's a heter, according to most Rishonim, l'chachmei Svard, that heter only applies by Pas. So if you light the pilot light, l'mashal, not the temporary context, that heter for Svardim only applies to Pas, not to Bishul. So why is that? because parts, I mean, it could be because tamazoy they were makeup by parts, which some Yishom say, ki al halechem, ki al halechem yichya odam. So they didn't want to be so stringent with parts, because it's a staple, and therefore there's certain leniencies that you find by parts that we don't find by bishul. It's interesting, I just was, just give you my yodesh, if you look in Simen Peches, so the Shach quotes Beis Yosef here by Bishul Akum. He says that the reason they're more machmir about pas than other things, you know, that they ask a pasisol, aside from the local bishul, but there's a local pasisol. He says the reason they're more machmir is al lechem yichya adam. So that's a reason to be machmir, right? But other Rishonim say the reason they were makel by pas is because al lechem yichya adam. You know, say. It's the same lechem. It depends, I guess, how you, you know. Sometimes the lechem yichadam is lekula, sometimes it's lechum. Right? I guess it depends how you. You know, they tell a story about the chassam soif. It has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about. But I once heard this from Rabbi Alpert. He told me that, you know, he was learning a beitza with his shear. So somebody said, no, beitza, it's an easy masechta. It's easy. So chassam soif said, bait depends how you cook it. You can cook it hard, you can cook it soft, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's the same lechem yichya adam. So I just want to prove to you that there may be a chilek between them. We'll see it in Shulchan Aruch later on. By pas, it says in Shulchan Aruch that by pas it says, you know, we're not so yeah, this is pas, right? All these pages are. Oh yeah. By Bishul Akum, the Mechaber has two days in Shulchan Aruch where the Bishul Akum asks Kalim. It's a Machlokes Yishayim, Machlokes between the Rosh and the Rashba. Kalim, it's, I guess it would be Kuf Yud Gimel, Kuf Yud Beis, Kuf Yud Gimel, Tes Zayin. Kalim should Bishul Behem Avi Kochavim, Faneinu Dvam Sheish Behem Mishum Bishul Avi Kochavim, Tzrichim Hechsha. Right? So it's machlokes with the requires hechsher, whether Bishul Akum asks Kalim. But as relates to Pas Akum, it says that you saw, if one person is makbid, halacha yud gimel, right? Kuf yud bet. Misha einu nizim mipasel obti kochavim shehesiv etzel balabais hanizim mipasel obti kochavim bal shulchan pasel so pasel obti kochavim. No, next. Teso. Misha nizim mipasel obti kochavim muta lecho bekara im misha einu nizim mimeno. Vafa pisha tam pasel obti kochavim is arev bepasel so einu choshes. It ended up. You don't have it? It's kufi based tesvav. In other words, it says that a person is makbid about pas akum. Not everybody's makbid about pas akum, because the Gemara says that pas akum they were makel about the gzera. First they made the gzera, and then they were makel about the gzera, and they only asked pas and they were makel about pas palto. Right. So and some people are makbid about pas palto, some people are not, and that's what it says in Aruch Chaim, that during Seder Shmei Tshuva, where people tend to be machbir about not to eat pas akum, even shel palter, right? So let's say a person is machbir and another person is not, they're eating the same kaira, right? So it says that we're not worried about Tam. Tam doesn't asim, right? So you see, there's no Tam Kika. Why does that? If I'm makbid about pas akum, so how can I eat in the same kava with somebody else? So the answer, I mean, there could be actually, now that I think about it, could be another answer. But one answer, this is what I thought was, is that by pas, the only isu was an isa chitum, but they never made it a cheftz of macholos asuris. If it's not a cheftz of macholos asuris, so then there's no tam ki ikum. On an isa gavi, you wouldn't say tam ki ikum. You only say tam ki ikum when it's an isa cheftz of macholos asuris. So that's why by pas it was only a gzeir, so there's no tam ki ikum on that. But on Bishul, that Abed quotes 2 days whether they made it an Isa Heftza also to Asher Kehl. Right? There may be a different reason why he's maker, why by pass there's no Tam Ki Ika. Because it could be because he thinks that in the time when they made a red Zeyu, before they were Mavatl the Zeyu, they were maker on it. And it was mamish pass, all passes also. So then, what are we talking about? One person's what's the Shulchan Aruch talking about? One person's maker, one person's not maker. We're talking about a person who's not frum. No, he's talking about a person. One person's maker on to rely on pas palta. So you know, maybe the mechamah of mikra at the end we hold pas palta is mutter. It's just a chumrah to be makbid on pas palta all year, and therefore. On that, since it's only a chumrah, you don't say tam kika. But if it would be, let's say, not pas palta, a goy baked pas for a year, and he gives it to him as a present. It's not a commercial context. It's not a bakery or anything like that. So then, maybe the tam would be also. I don't know. Depends how you read that in Shulchan Aruch. But coming back to our fundamental idea here. Is that the Bishul Akum, that the nature of the Gzeira was that it became a Cheftz of Machalos Asuras. And that's why Rashi gives 2 reasons. One reason is the Sibus of Isur, namely Chitun, and the other is the Chaloisa Isur, and the definition of the Isur, which is Machalos Asuras, Shema Yachilenu Dovet Tomei. Now, okay. Now the Gemara here continues and says, Amalav, Kol Hanechom Kemoshu Chai. Ain bo mishum bishule of the kochavim. Besur masnu hochi, but b'disnu masnu hochi. Am Rav Shmuel, ba Rav Yitzchok, am Rav kol she enu nechal shulchan malachim the lafus bo sapas. Ain bo mishum bishule of the kochavim. Right? Ma binai hik binai dogu ktanim va'adi devdaisa. So the Gemara gives 2 reasons, 2 statements in the name of Rav that in terms of the limitations on the Isa Bishul Akum. One is that it has to be something which is not Nechal Kamo Shulchai. In other words, if it's something that can be eaten more, or is eaten more, so then that's not Asa Mishul Bishul Akum. So for example, if a goy cooked carrots for you, or cooked an apple for you, so you can eat the carrots or you can eat them cooked. So that's not osam mishum bishul akum, because it's nechal kamo shulchai. But if he cooked cereal for you, so that can't be eaten raw, a hot cereal, so that would be osam mishum bishul akum in terms of nechal kamo shulchai. But then there's another criterion. It has to be something which is olam shulchan malachim. What does Ola Shulchan Malachim mean? Ola Shulchan Aruch means something that would be, literally means something that would be served at a king's table. So that's a very ambiguous phrase. I mean, what does it mean to be served at a king's table? So it means that it's a choshev amichel, and of course the reason, the rationale for that presumably is that if the reason is mishum chasnus, in other words, he's going to be, you know, this kind of cooking that's such an important michael, you know, that's going to lead to some kind of a camaraderie between Yidden and Goyim, and that's why it's also right. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach, as we know. So that's why if it's a choshev and michael, then it's also. Of course, if the reason given for Oila Shulchan Malachim is, I'm sorry, if the reason for Bishul Akum is Shemiyah Yechilen and Dovah Tameh, so then why do you need the criterion of Oila Shulchan Malachim? I guess because if it's Oila Shulchan Malachim, it's something very choshev that they tend to be Kaveh Suda together on. If not, they wouldn't. Chitun always comes, plays a role in the definition of what's asur or not. And the Gemara says, what's ikar v'nayin dagim ketanim? Tosfos says, piyush she'eino nechol chayim ve'eino shulchan lachim. If the reason is because of nechol k'mo shulchai, so these dagim ketanim, the only way to eat them were cooked, but they're not considered a choshev v'maychol, so they wouldn't be also alts bishalakim. La halacha, we use both criterion, lakula. So if something is not oila shulchan malachim, even though it has to be cooked, we don't consider that to be os mishum bishalakim. Now, let's just talk about a second what's called oila shulchan malachim. Because this shaila is a very, very halacha lemaase, extremely important, because it really defines the breadth of the isur, how broad the isur is. Because there are two possible definitions of olah shulchan lachem. One definition is a very, very literal one. Olah shulchan lachem means something that would be served at a king's table. It sounds like, you know, at a state dinner or at a very festive meal. Very high quality food, that's what's osur mishum bishalakim. But if it's, you know, standard fare, that would not be osur bishalakim. That's one definition. The other definition of bishalakim, of oila shulchan malachim, is something that's not inferior fare. In other words, you don't serve a king inferior things. But kings don't only eat at state dinners. You know, they eat breakfast, they eat standard food also. So what it meant, that's not Ola Shulchan Lachem, means that it's not inferior. So I want to tell you a story. Rabbi Schwab Zichron Levracha once told me, he said that he once, this was, I think it was like 1948, I think he told me it was after the war, he went to Eretz Yisrael and he visited by the Chazon Ish. And he asked the Chazon Ish if you're allowed to eat sardines. The sardines are cooked. So the Chazon Ish said to us, Bishalach. So Rav Schwab asked them, apparently before the war, many of the Gedolim, you know, there was famine in Russia and other places, and the joint, and, you know, they were sent. These were what they call, you know, the different organizations, to help the Jewish community in Europe at the time, especially after World War I. So they sent food, and amongst the things that they sent was cans of sardines. So Rav Schwab said, you know, Chaim Oyser was makel about this, and many Gedolim were makel, because they said that the sardines are not Oila Shulchan Malachim, they were matir. So the Chazon Ish said, they help us as muti, help us as awesome. The Gdolim who held it was muta, held it's not muta. So then Rabbi Schwab asked him, it's not oila shulchan malachim. You know, at a state dinner, you don't serve sardines. So Chazni said, oh, but the Kenning from England, this is George was still king before Elizabeth II, King of England, when he eats breakfast in the morning, he eats sardines also. So Rabbi Schwab told me that since he heard of me per kocho of the Chazanish, so he was always machmir not to eat sardines unless it was actual bishul, specific bishul yisrael.
How
can
you understand the Gemara?
Dogim Ketanim
is not...
Dogim
Ketanim is not...
Right. So Dogim Ketanim is not Oila Shulchan Malachim, right? So he would explain Dogim Ketanim to me, not necessarily sardines. It would mean because it's an inferior... You know, they'll eat sardines, but it has to be the best quality sardines. So this is... The Oila Shulchan says he interprets probably that it means, you know, that it's an inferior grade. Some interpret, by the way, Dogim Ketanim to me that they have not completely matured. They're, you know, just sprouted. Right. You're right, though, but the simple interpretation of the Gemara is not that way. I would interpret the Gemara like that as well. So, now this difference between the Chazon Ish and, let's say, Chaim Oiz or others has tremendous ramifications in terms of, you know, kashrus of different products. I just want to give you a marshal. And I think, generally speaking, that the lenient position is the accepted position, namely that it's the Ola Shulchan Malachim means a very special Choshev Amaychol, but you know standard fare would not be called Ola Shulchan Malachim. For example, there's a tshuva in the Igros Moshe about this. A lot of discussion about this lately in the later Igros Moshes. So there's a tshuva that Rav Moshe has to. I think it's to Rav Reuven, the son, but it's about potato chips. So what would you think? You know, let's say you bought potato chips. Is it also mishum bishalak or not? So potatoes are not nechel kamo shulchai. So would it be also or not? So it really would depend on this issue. According to the Chazon Ish, presumably potato chips would be also, because you know kings eat, you know, while they're watching television, whatever it is, or presidents are playing video games, whatever they do. What? Right. Well, pretzels would be past palta, that would be okay. But
after pretzels or no?
Right, so that's an important child. So if according to the Chazon Ish, it would be also, but according to the general definition, you know, at a state dinner, you don't give, you know, that's not what you serve. You don't serve potato chips. It's a junk food. So then it would be mutter. In this tshuva, Moshe sounds like it's that he thinks that it's also. So first of all, it's a question: what did he mean exactly in the tshuva? But I once spoke to the Rav about this question, and he thought that it's not called Oila Shulchan Malachim, and he thought in general, canned vegetables, for example, he thought that though canned vegetables don't reach the standard of Oila Shulchan Malachim. Oila Shulchan Malachim means that I take, I cook it in a special way. I don't mean, but it's a higher grade. He thought, he was a little bit misook about it, but he thought in general, canned vegetables would have been. Rabbi Heinemann has a distinction between asparagus, which he doesn't give hashgacha to because he thinks that that's bishul akum, because asparagus is a very choshuva and expensive vegetable, as opposed to string beans or something like that. I actually thought that this shaila actually depends on two deis and a toisus. Toisus in Avodah Zorah asks. Th- the Mishnah has another example. It's called Sheikha, which is that you're not allowed to drink alcoholic beverages. It's according to Shulchan, it's a shaila exactly what alcoholic beverage. Does it mean all alcoholic beverages, or does it only mean Sheikha Tamarim? So that the 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. But we're not talking today about the example of Sheikha. And generally, I think we're makel about it. But that's a machlokes. What's the isur Sheikha? But and the other coolness about it, if it's only with other goyim, if the Jews, but there's except gzeir anyhow of Sheikha. So Tosfos says, why do they have to make a gzeir of Sheikha? Apparently, the way they used to make Sheikha was they would take whatever these fruits or vegetables, ferment them, and cook them, and that's how they made this. It was a kind of mead that they made. And Tosfos says that it should be also because of Bishalakim. What do you have to come out to Sheikha with all the time of Sheikha? The way they made it was Bishal. It was still Bishal. So, you could have answered Tosfos question, made a Sheikha without Bishal. But apparently that's the way they made it. That's what Tosfos says. So Tosfos, this is Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Aleph from the base. Tosfos Divrei Maaseh V'Tavayim.
We have it.
You have it?
Page 2.
Oh, right. Okay, so let's look at this Tosfos. See page 2, the Tosfos of Tavayu. The Tavayu Mishum Chasnus. Vav Acha Ovid HaChoki Sev. Mekom Shneim Lo Hayu Shosim Bebeisa Ovi Kochovim. He came, Tzorech Lizor Shalo Lishto Sheikha Bebeisa Ovi Kochovim. Do Vav Popo Vav Acha Shoi Basroi Lo Hayu Shosim. Miu Hamis Achsim Bebeisa Ovi Kochovim. Yochol Yos Shemutu Lishloach V'ir liknos sheichem in ovei kachovim tavi kamo bebeisel she yisrael. Right? I told you there are certain criteria. It's only so if it's in your house, there's no isur gzeir. If you're going to a tavern and you're the only person there, rov akum, so then it's also. So he says if you're renting a room there, that's your so you're renting it's your room. V'afim ovei kachovim she'achson anyhow mishum. Nos lo mishalo, v'sos mishum eved lo osu mishum chasnus elikvo shtir b'chanus o b'gilus lishtos b'beitz av d'chofen ala kvor b'om shalom u b'chlal din shecha ben shecha shel t'morim ben shel t'fua v'ein leso shel t'fua mishum b'shule av d'chofen. So here's my question, Sean, is only t'morim, is also t'fua? Our beer, by the way, is shel t'fua, it's made from hops. Right? So Tosfos gives an answer because it's not oila al shulchan alochim, right? Vashkechanu of Yovan. Then Tosfos gives va'ojesh tam achya lahati hashecha the ainbo mishum bishula of the kochavim the chichechi the hatfu p'teila legabe hamayim leinian. So Tosfos gives two answers why this is not osal bishul and why they have to therefore have a new gzeir al sheikha. What are the two answers? The first answer he says is that the sheikha is not oil shulchan malachim. Inami, that what? He says that the sheikha is bottled to the water, right? That for betelel gabi hamayim leinian birkas shahakol niyam bidvara. Right. In other words, since the bruch you're making a shahakol, why do you make a shahakol on beer? Why don't you make a mezainus? After all, it's the barley or whatever it is, the hop that they make it with. So it should be mezainus, just like the Mar says on shlokos, we make a mezainus. Right. So why is the bruch a shahakol? So Tosfos says the bruch a shahakol because the ikur is not the real thing. Is it's just a way. Beer is just flavored water, essentially, right? It's fermented, gives a special flavor, and so the bracha shahakol. So the ikur is the water. So that's why it's not called oilash. It's not osmi shabishalakum, right? So why does Tosfos have to give the second answer? Tosfos should just answer that it's not oilash shulchan malachim. What does Tosfos mean to say? Because al shulchan malachim. when at steak dinner, they don't serve you beer at steak dinner. They serve you wine. So Sheikh is not Oyla Shulchan Malacha. Why isn't Tosis satisfied with that answer? He gives another answer, the Oyjeh Shleimah. Is because what? Because the Bracha Shehachol. In other words, it's bottled to the water. Because maybe in Tosis thought in the second Teretz, like the Chazon Ish, that Sheikha is Oyla Shulchan Malacha. You know, the shayla with the sheikh is Ola Shulchan Alachim may depend on this machlokes. In other words, if the isur, if the definition is that it's mamish Ola Shulchan Alachim, so then sheikh is not Ola Shulchan Alachim, yain is Ola Shulchan Alachim. But does the king or the president, does he drink beer? He does drink beer also, right? He doesn't do it at a formal occasion, but he likes a beer once, you know. He likes the beer also. So there's these 2 days in Tosis may revolve around this very important issue, this machlokes between the Chazon Ish and, you know, and others. What's the definition of Ola Shulchan Alachim? My own experience in all yeshivas, they will always make you about breakfast cereals, right? I mean, nowadays they started with the Bishul Yisrael cereals, you know. But in the old days, in the good old days, right? So in every yeshiva that I ever went to, including Lakewood and every yeshiva, they always used to give Kellogg's Rice Krispies, right? Or Kellogg's Cornflakes, or, you know, all, you know, the standard cereals. So why aren't they worried about Bishul Akum? Or Cheerios or things like that. So the answer, the reason they want Shulchan, presumably, was because it was not Oyla Shulchan Alachim. Breakfast cereal is not called Oyla Shulchan Alachim. It doesn't mean that they don't eat, Melech won't eat the breakfast cereal. He will. But according to the Chazon Ish, I would assume that it would be a problem. So, anyhow, in terms of the OU's policy, we consider all these things to be not Oyla Shulchan Alachim. In other words, all these standard fare, unless it's something like meat or, you know, fish that's cooked or, you know, very high grade product, but the junk food we don't consider Oyla Shulchan Alachim. So therefore, potato chips, etc., are not considered Oyla Shulchan Alachim. Therefore, we don't think that there's a problem of Bishul Akum as relates.
Canned vegetables.
So canned vegetables, you know. First of all, we have to distinguish between which kind of canned vegetables. I mean, the Rav, I told you, thought that canned vegetables in general, he thought that's also not Ola Shulchan Alachim. But it's interesting, you know, nowadays, a lot of vegetables are Nechol Kama Shulchai. That was the other criterion that, which we haven't spoken about yet, that Rav had. Like, there are 2 criteria that are quoted, and we call the Kula Kort Debo. In other words, it has to be something that's not Nechol Kama Shulchai. So, for example, corn. Right? Corn is Nechol Kama Shulchai. If you take it, you know, in the field, and it's very sweet, it's tasty, it's Nechol Kama Shulchai. And lots of these things, like string beans and carrots, you know, are Nechol Kama Shulchai. Of course, the things that are not Nechol Kama Shulchai are beans. But then the issue is, so beans would not be Nechol Kama Shulchai, but then the question is, are they Oyla Shulchan Alachim? So baked beans, you know, would not, it depends again on these 2 criteria. Would you consider baked beans Ola Shulchan Alachim? So that would depend on this issue. So we deal with a lot of these things. For example, the places that come in as issues and we have to set up Bishul Akum programs are things like what's that called? No, the small, you know, transitional point in life. What's that? Artichokes, thank you. All right, artichokes. So artichokes is a problem. Is that Oyla Shulchan Alachim? That may indeed be. I think we set up a problem. There are other issues related to artichokes in terms of, because artichokes sometimes have problems of toloin. And then the problem, I know Belsky was being down on this in terms of artichokes, the artichokes grow, you know, the I forgot where they were, but they're from South America and from other, you know, other countries. And they said that the workers there take them and eat them when they're more. So maybe they're nechel kamo shulchai. But usually what we did, I think we set up a special program to shlach my aunt shows.
Yeah. How do you define Davosh Nechel kamo shulchai? I mean, if people who are working down in South America are picking them, and there's only people who are eating them kamo shulchai, is that not the reason for us to leave it like that?
So that's a good question. I mean, that first, it does mean shugan, of course, the bottle diet, right, so called other. First of all, there's a shayla in terms of nechel kamo shulchai, there's machlek sepoiskim. What if at the place that they manufacture it, it's nechel kamo shulchai, and then they transport it to a place which is not nechel kamo shulchai, or does it go by the makom of the asir, by the makom of achila? That's also machlekes. But and the Ritva says in terms of nechel kamo shulchai that even if it's nechel ayde hatchak. So, I mean, I don't think he means nechel ayde hatchak. That's, you know, extremely difficult to eat. It means that some people can, some people can't. So, I'm not sure exactly, you know, that's really, it's not so easy to define, because I'm going to, this whole discussion about Bishalakam, I wrote a kuntras about Bishalakam, and I wrote it, it's in my sefer, but I wrote it originally for Rabbi Avraham Shapira. Rabbi Avraham Shapira then was the chief rabbi of Israel, Rabbi Tamil Chacham, and they wanted that the OU tuna fish, we relied on tuna fish productions that we would like the fire and things like that. So especially with Mordechai Eliyahu, who was then his co-chief rabbi, he was the Svardi chief rabbi, was especially concerned for the Svardi population, that this kula of the Ramor, which I mentioned before, that if you just light the fires, that would be sufficient for Bishal, you know, for Bishalakim, because he saw it was Mechabah Mechalim. He says, but the Mechabah doesn't hold that way, and most all Chachmei Svarad, including the Rambam, don't hold that way. So how can this Svardi population in Israel rely on those coolers? So he wanted us naming the OU, because then the production was being done in, and still is now, in a lot of it in Puerto Rico. There was a plant that was exporting to Israel. So he wanted that the mashkiach should push every wagon into the oven. The ovens are big retorts, and these, you know, they're pretty heavy and everything. So we had other studs in the cooler. At the end, we accommodate them, and the poor mashkiach, it's Rabbi Shechter's brother-in-law, Binyamin Gifter, but he's waiting away there, pushing these big wagons because of this pshach. So what I was going to say is that this had this issue, and then one of the stud in the cooler, which, you know, others have also observed this in terms of tuna, is it so posh that tuna is nechel kamo shulchai, because sushi is such a, you know, common product now, which not just Japan that they're eating this war, you know, and any decent chasna with a kedushin is chal, they have a sushi bar, right? So maybe that's also called nechel kamo shulchai. The truth is, it's not so pushed to define. You know, when you have a range like this in terms of Eila Shulchan Malachim or Nechel Kamo Shulchai, you know what? You know, where are the where are the boundaries requires sometimes some judgment. All right. Okay. So now we spoke about one of the criteria, namely that it's. It has to be Oila Shulchan Malachim, right? In terms of just, I just want to point out what Rabbi Schwartz asked, you know, in terms of the Chazon Ish about Dogen Ketanim. The impression you get in the Gemara is that Dogen Ketanim is like sardines, right? So it would be a raya against the Chazon Ish, right? But the Bach, on the turn, Kuf Yud Gimel, he says that Dagen Tamim Mutam means only Dagen Gdolim Shlo Godlu Kol Tzokum. But if it's Dag, that the nature of the Dag, like sardines, is to be small, then he says it's Taka Osim Mishum Bishalakum. But others, This is actually the Shach quotes this Bach. In the Orach HaShulchan, he writes that herring and sardines, he considers them to be chshuvim and not to be dog muktan. But I think with Vladi Yosef and his Jews, I think you haven't put in. I think he's a makel about sardines. Now, in terms of there's another issue that comes up, and that is about, I think they quote this from Yaakov Kamenetsky, and it's a very difficult svara. I'm sure you heard it. He says that something which the min is sometimes olah shulcha malachim, even if the thing you're making is not olah shulcha malachim, since the min you're making from could be, that's also mishum bishul Yaakov. So the mashal, potatoes require bishul, and therefore you can make fancy things out of potatoes, but you can make potato chips, which is not so fancy. So he asks us because of the min. I mean, first of all, I don't understand the svara. Me'echet eset, just say the opposite. And b'chlal, it doesn't make sense because it's just not mistabel. The rabbi himself says that, you know, bishul akum, the rabbi says, you know, what it is in terms of bishul akum, well, it's almost sure depends on every place and every context. Something could be all the shulchan aruch in one place, and not all the shulchan aruch in a different place. You know, different ways of preparing food, different tastes, different cuisines. So what may be all the shulchan aruch in one place? So why should be some kind of xeris akosta of some place? That 1 min is always all the shulchan aruch. It's just not mistaken. In terms of the question that you asked of what's called Oila Shulcha Malachim, so the Ritva in Avodah Zorah says that something which is Roy L'och L'chai, even though people generally eat it Mavusho, he says that's also called, what do you call it, Nechol Kamo Shulchai. So that would certainly include tuna and things like that, because even if normally people eat tuna cooked, but since it could be eaten raw, right, that's even more than, that's not just the sushi smoke, independent of that. And the Rashbok puts that ship's for in the name of the Rebbeinu Chananel and the Raivin in the Torah Sabayis. Now, I just want to ask one question.
For the sushi, do you have to say this tuna that's here could have been eaten raw? Maybe it's not like a high quality enough that it would have been eaten raw, but like, you know, the quality will, I don't know what the CSS is, but, you know, it doesn't have to be this thing, or do we say it's for me and it's sushi?
Yeah, why is sushi a higher quality tuna?
I don't know.
Oh, I mean, if it was that the nature is that it's not eaten raw, maybe, I don't know. But, you know, according to the Ritva that I quoted, it would still be mutter, because it's still shayach tivor, right? Then it can go back to what the Ritva speaks about. I mean, even if it's idea hadchak, is a machlek, I told you, that's actually machlek, is a gemara, whether that's called nechol kamo shulchai. Let me ask you this question, just a thought question. The Rambam says in Hilchos Shabbos that, the Rambam's Perek Tes Hilchos Shabbos, halacha gimel, ha-mavashel al ha'or, dover shayi mavushel kol tzorko, right? So the Rambam says that dover that doesn't require bishul, if you cooked it on Shabbos, you're potter. So if the Rambam, that means a dover that's nechol kamo shulchai. So if the Rambam holds it's not bishul kol to a kulo, right? So what do you need a maimer of Rav to say that you're potter mishum bishul akum because it's nechol kamo shulchai? Even Hilchos Shabbos you'd be potter. Either Davish or Sarah, two things. Davish is special called Sarko, or Davish ain't a Sarah Bishal Klau.
But there's some foods that you that people just normally don't cook.
Right.
But I'm talking about that's not kosher, but something which is nefal shukai, which is eaten raw.
Oh, okay. So that's one answer you can give. Right. Okay. Let me give you an example. An apple, right? You can eat an apple raw, but a cooked apple is a different kind of an apple, right? So it's not that the bishul didn't do anything, but there must be some foods. I mean, Ram doesn't elucidate exactly which food he's talking about, but certain things with the bishul doesn't add anything, does nothing for it, right? And it's like bishul klal, that was Ram probably thought is part of the Hilchos Shabbos. So maybe that, but the Ram would hold if I cook an apple on Shabbos, Ram doesn't think you're part of for that, presumably, right? Okay. Now, let's talk about the other halacha that I spoke about, right? What about this halacha in Shulchan Aruch? This is an extremely important halacha.
Salting dagim, sort of takes on the definition of bishul with regard to bishul akum.
No, it was a kula, right? If the yid had salted it already, right? Or whoever salted it, right? Shemochin is salt, and then the goy cooks it afterwards, so that's not also because we say it's like nechol kamo shulchai. It's already part. He didn't do the whole cooking, the goy. Because the cooking there is to prepare the food.
Right, but my point is it sounds like the Shomar was saying that it's kilu, it's already, bishul has already been done to it. Okay, fine.
But you're saying that the child is because it's already mispasha. Yeah. Maybe it's because the other cooking afterwards is not. Right. For example, dogim meluchim gedolim einu nechom el yadei etchak lefichak im tzolim ovid gechom asurim v'yesh matirim.
For getting that example, but even let's say the cooler or not, if a Jew turns on the fire, that's not considered their shalaka. Concept of visual, even though the non-Jew is doing the rest of the visual process.
I could agree with you that the bishul standard by bishul akum, but I was asking if in Hilchos Shabbos it's not bishul, so it's not bishul kol Torah kula. Why do you need a halacha bishul akum to tell me? It's not even.
Let's say, for instance, you know, a non-Jew lights the light, you know, takes the fire, but I do, you know, a Jew lights the fire.
Right.
You know, guy X on Shabbos lights a fire, and then guy Y, you know, another Jew, you know, does the rest of the bishul process. By Shabbos, that's going to be considered visual, but by visual acting, that's not.
Yeah, but that doesn't have to do with this, because he's chai because he did bishul. Even in bishul akum, it could be the other person doing bishul. It's not if the Jew lit the fire, the other one didn't do bishul. Just the bishul, it's also called bishul yisur.
Right.
Because I only mentioned it. I mean, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu told me. I'll tell you a story. There's a tshuva that Rav Avadya Yosef has in his. I forgot exactly where it is. I think I quoted it. It's in the Abiyah Omer. Actually, I had Rav Bakshidevon wrote an article about this when he was chief rabbi in the Masora magazine. I'll tell you what the issue is. Remember we left this guy, Rabbi Gifter, parting away. They're pushing these wagons in. So Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu calls me and he shtelt so Rambam, Mamash had nothing to do with this at all. He's a very big Talmud Chacham. But the Rambam said, Echad Hevius, Eishvech, and Hilchos Shabbos, you know, the last one's Chacham. So you see, everything, what does that have to do with Bishul Akum? It had nothing to do with it. So I'm going to tell you what the story was. The Bavadu Yosef Paskins, it's Milsa the Svara. He quotes an Avdei Nezer. It's really Psaka the Avdei Nezer. But if the Jew puts what's the machlokes between the Mechaber and the Rambam, right? If the Jew puts the pot with the chicken or whatever it is on the fire, that's good according to everybody. That's what the Mechaber holds. Svisa Sakteva. Then he takes the Kteva and he puts it on the fire, right? But if he just lights the fire, right, and then later the Jew lit the fire, and the fire is lit, and then the goy puts the food on. So in Hilchos Shabbos, like you said, the one who's really doing, the Jew didn't do bishul. The Jew would have been over on havara, not bishul. Right, the Jew, if somebody else would put the pot on, he'd be chai for bishul. So that's mutas bishul akum. Somehow that's a heter. Since the Jew did the fire, he participated in some small way, even though it's, you know, way before it's not. So that the Rambam holds is mutter not only for pas but also for bishul, and the Melchaber disagrees, right? So Rav Yosef says like this, the Avdei Nezer says like this. Let's say, however, the goy puts the pot on the stove, right, and then the Jew opens up the fire on the stove. So the Avdei Nezer says that's not depending on Machlos Melchaber Ramah. The Melchaber also agrees. Because when the Jew puts on the fire, he's doing the bishul also. And Shabbos, if you put it on, he'd be chai both the bishul and for havara. So that should be mutter, even according to whom? Even according to Mechaber. So we had an eitz over here. Why have, you know, this mashgiach to pull, you know, try to push by himself, which he really can't do, and if he has to get the workers there to help. So, you know, it's a little bit, you know, zev zev goyim here, but to put it in. Just light the fire, you know. Let them put all the things in the retort, and then at his leisure, you know, the gift will just turn on the fire, and then you'll be good for Svardim as well. It makes so much sense. So Rav Bakshi, when he was chief rabbi, wrote a tshuva lekula. I mean, I don't see how anybody could say otherwise. It's so obviously true. But Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, he didn't agree with it, and so just to accommodate him, we still tell the mashgiach, you know, to push it in, but it's really a pella. I mean, the Avdei Nezer is so obviously right. Okay, now Now, we spoke, so let's talk a little bit about this halacha, about chitik cholim, right? Or if the fire was lit by a Jew. Now, if the this halacha by pas that if the Jew lit the fire, that helps, right? So that halacha of pas in Kufyud Beis, look at Ois Test. Hidlik Ovik Kachovin Hatana, the offer by Yisrael. Or she hidlik Yisrael the offer of Kachovim, or she hidlik Ovid Kachovim the offer of Kachovim, or boy Yisrael benir ha'esh ma'at, ha'esh ha'mutter. Right? Va'filu lo zorak ela eitz echa l'toch ha'tano, hiti kol ha'pas shibo, she'ein ha'dova elios heker sh'apas shalahem asura. Right? And there are more adds, even if he blew onto the fire, because, you know, that raised the fire also, that's also mutter. So that everybody agrees that chitik cholim helps by pas. What about by bishul? So by bishul, Siv Sayin, Kufi Gimus Siv Sayin. Ain Shkivas Pirus have Orav Ubiro Vesiko Vihon Shkivin Hatanamo El. And there's lighting, firing up the Tanur, the Machabah says, doesn't help. It did help for Bishul, right? It built for Pas, but it doesn't help for Bishul. Ain Shkivas Hatanur Mo Elis Ela Bapas. Avo Bashar HaMispashlim, Ain Shkivas Hatanur. V'lo hadlokos ha'eis mala umoyud, ela hanocha dafka, lefikach harotzu levasho b'machvas b'tano she'ovi kachovim, sorach she'itin yisol ha'machvas etoch ha'tano lemokum haroi le'ispasho bo. Right? So the Mechaber says that it doesn't help only if you actually cook. The Jew did the cooking, right? So the Jew has to put the pot, right, the machvas, the toch hatano, the mokon haroi l'spashul bo. But if he just lit the fire, the goy put in the pot, it's no good. And the Ramor says, v'yesh cholkim, v'svur luhu tahadlokas ha'esh, ochitui b'cholim, mahani le'inyin bishul, k'mo le'inyin pas. V'chein noyagin, v'afilu chitui below kavanu mahani umoyo. V'yesh om da fil lo chitui yisol v'lo hishlich sham kisim. Rak sh'ovi kochovim hidlik ha'esh me'esh yisol shori. Right? So the Ramor disagrees, and the Ramor says the Ramor says that that if the Jew lit the fire, not only by pas, which we saw in Kufki Beis, but even by bishul, it's also effective. Not only if he lit the fire, even if he throws in a kisem, a splinter into the fire, and he participates in the most minimal fashion, right, or if he blew on the fire, like he said there by Pas, that would be sufficient. So this is the big divide between Sfardim and Ashkenazim. The Mechaber says that this kula applies only by Pas, and what's the reason the Mechaber gives? Because it's a hekka, the Pas Akum is also. Stam a hekka, right? But the Ramah holds that applies also by Bishma. Right? Now, the Ran, amongst the Rishon, the Ran there in Avodah Zarah, says that it only applies by, what do you call it? Only applies by Pas, not by Bishul, not like the Kula of the Ramah. The Ramah is based on a Mordechai. But almost all Rishonim disagree. The Rosh also says that only applies by Pas. The Lashon HaRabbim is clearly only by Pas. It says not by Bishul, he only says it by Pas. He never mentions it. And he says, and he also says, this Lashon of the Mechaber, he borrowed from the Rambam, that it's a hekka than it's matter. However, Tosis here in Avodah Zarah on but Tosis in Avodah Zarah quotes that this is one of the distinctions between B'nai Bavel and B'nai Eretz Yisrael, and the Torah says a nimshach acharei b'nei bavel, Torah says that one chesed beis, and the Mordechai says that as well. Now, what's this machlokes? Whether Zrikas Kisem applies only to Pas or also to Bishul. Right? Machlok is between Tosis and the Mordechai and the Ramah on one side, and the Ran, the Rashba, the Rambam, the Rosh, almost everybody, and the Mechaber on the other side. I mean, the weight of opinion really is, you know, like the Mechaber would seem. But anyhow, we Ashkenazim are Mekel. So what is that? How would you be masked with that machlokes? Anybody want to make suggestions to me? Okay. Moving right along. So I'll tell you what I was thinking about this. Well, first of all, we know that there's a distinction. That's where I started with. It could be that there's a distinction between Pas and Bishul in general, that they're more makel about Pas, and maybe the reason they were more makel about Pas is because Pas is not a Chefetz Machalos Asuris that we spoke about at the beginning, and only Bishul is a Chefetz Machalos Asuris. So Zvikas Kisim, which the Ramah, the Mechaber says, is just a hekka that Pas Akum is also. So this distinguishes this, right? But it's not that, it's just a makir, it's not that it makes it Pas Yisrael, right? But it could be that that's what the Ramah disagrees. The Ramah says that any participation by the Jew in the production of the food, let's say in the case of Pas, in the production of the Pas, makes this, it's not just the matter that we know that Pas, that this is different than Pas Akum. Since I participated, even in the most minimal fashion, right, throwing in a splinter, right, Zvikas Kisei, that itself, it's not just a matir, it's called Bishul Yisrael. Since I put it in, that is mitzarif the Bishul to me. So even if I, for example, lit the pilot light, and the person, the guy who's cooking is cooking the next day, right? But since I participated in that minimal fashion, that's enough to be called what? Bishul Yisrael. So if the hetter by pas is it's just a matir, so then we know there's a distinction between pas and bishul. Pas al yechim lichi yichya adam. It's a there are certain coolness, palter is mutter and so on. It's only mishum chasnas. It's a matir only by pas. You can't take what you learned by pas and apply it also to bishul, like the Rashba says. Rashba says in Torah Sabayis, it says kisim, kisim zeh ma'malu ma'mori, right? What good is it doing, right? It does nothing, right? But if the pshat is that al pidin, at least as relates to bishul akum, or at least as relates to pasak, we'll start with that. It's called that bishul yisrael. So then that applied by bishul also. Now the standards of what's called bishul as relates to pas, and as relates to bishul are different. If the yisrael participated in any fashion, it's mutter. So there's another nafkamina to this. Maybe this. It says in Shulchan Aruch what we just read that it says. The Ma'amor says Vafil Chiti below Kavana Moyo, right? Let's say it was Machat the Kolim, but he stirred the coals, but he didn't have in mind Dafka for Bishul. That's also Mutter. The Ma'amor says, even though there was no Kavana. And the Shach quotes in Ois Yud, quotes from the Issa V'Heta that you need Kavana for the Chiti. So what does that shaila depend on when you need kavana? So if the halacha is that it's a matir, so then I would say that you need kavana for a matir. But if the pshat is that al pidin it's called my bishul, even though I participated in this very, minimal fashion, so then I don't need kavana. Do I need kavana? Let's say the Jew cooks it, didn't have in mind to cook it, he had in mind something else. Would you say that it's not Bishul Yisrael? Of course it's Bishul Yisrael. So this Shaila, in terms of whether Zvikas Kisem and Chiti Kholam works, really is an important issue that revolves, and so we'll talk about this next week, about how do we handle for Sfardim and Ashkenazim. And so because there's another issue that I think may revolve about this. You might have heard that some kashrus agencies, what they do is this: they take a Rabbi Heinemann believes in this, in the starke, they put a bulb inside the oven, so the bulb generates, a certain amount of heat. Of course, it's not very much, but at times like this. But the Jew put in the bulb, right? And it's an ever-glowing bulb, one of these. So it doesn't give less heat than the little kisim that you threw in. So therefore, we've solved the problem of bishul akum. So I want you to think, I'll leave this as a question for next week. Do you think that's good or not? Obviously, Rabbi Heinemann thinks it is. Anyhow, Rabbi Shechter thought it was no good. And we asked Rav Yoshev about it. He wasn't too excited about it either. He didn't think it was good. But let's talk about the logic, whether it is good or not. I mean, there are kashrus agencies that use it.
I would tell you if it's true. I heard that the OU was doing bishul yisrael, for example, if a factory in America wanted to cook on Shabbos, so they'd have some brother in Australia where it's already built to Shabbos log on and press a button on his keyboard that would turn on the fire in America. Is that really going on?
Mm-hmm. That sounds. I mean, I don't know about this or about Australia. I mean, it could be, but what we do is we turn it on computer wise.
Mm-hmm. But I'm saying like in a time zone.
You're asking a Hilchos Shabbos question. You're asking.
Both. I'm saying like does that count as Bishul Yisrael?
Why not?
Because it's because it's not.
He's
the...
a Jew in Australia. I mean, I don't know if you know that. His Jewishness is not a function of the time zone. But, all fairness, you know, this shaila in general, whether you're allowed to do a melacha in one place, you know, that's an old shaila. Most poskim are making, you know, it's in a more less esoteric story is, can you send a fax in America or an email to Israel, you know, when it's already Shabbos in Israel and it's not Shabbos in America? I'll tell you a story. Again, nothing to do with what we're talking about. But Julie Berman told me the story. He said that Julie Berman used to be president for the OU and he was the Rav's lawyer, the confidant of the Rav. He said he once came in to see the Rav, and the Rav was very upset about something. So he said, why are you upset? He said, this fellow Avneri, who he doesn't know who he is, he heard that he wrote in his newspaper, Olam Hazeh, and Julie said, I promise you, you don't want to be reading Olam Hazeh. But he said, he said, you know, after the incursion in Lebanon, you know, with Shabbat Shatila, so the Rav was upset. That is true about, you know, when the Palestinians were killed, and they were going through this discussion, then the government went to establish a commission of inquiry, which ultimately was established through the Kahana Commission, which resulted in then Sharon had to leave the government because of the criticism of that commission. But anyhow, the story that Avneri tells in his thing was that the Rav called Menachem Begin, then was the Prime Minister of Israel, and he called up Menachem Begin on Yom Kippur to insist that they establish this Kahana Commission. So the Rav said, this is nonsense. So the Rav said, I want you to sue this, whoever this guy Avneri is, I want you to sue him for libel. So Julie told the Rav, he said, you know, Rebbe, I want to explain something to you about the law of libel. In order to be, you know, found guilty for libel, it has to be a credit, something that people might believe. And he said, Rebbe, they may believe that you called Begin on Yom Kippur, but no one's going to believe that Begin accepted the call on Yom Kippur. So the Rav said, yes, but there's a 7-hour difference. Maybe I called on my Yom Kippur, but it was might say Yom Kippur when Begin got the call. So anyhow, that was the end of the story. I only remind you because you tell me about this time. All right, so we'll talk about maybe these computer things, and it could be that they're doing it. I actually don't know if they're doing it. But it makes sense to.
I'm going to go to the house. 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 I'm going to go to the Rabbi Shalabi Bars Nami Dante, Tadabi Allah, Halal, Jim Shabri, for the Abraham, for a promise, you're a father, for the Holy Father, and the Holy Father.